Before we begin today's lesson, I want to encourage you to listen to a lesson on knowing God. And it's a sermon that was posted on May 3rd and available on the Hillview Terrace Church of Christ Facebook page or on the West Virginia School of Preaching YouTube page. This lesson today builds upon that lesson, and it's not necessary to go do so, but I encourage you to, because that lesson talks about the characteristics of God and the things that we should know about God, knowing God. In fact, I started that lesson by making a statement that said, we need to know God. Today, I want to build upon that and ask the question, do we really want to know God? You see, if we really want to know God, then it requires a proper response for me as I look at these attributes of God. When I look at God, being a holy God, my response is that I should strive for holiness in my life. And we look at God being the God of all knowledge and the God of all wisdom. And my response is, I should seek Him. I should follow after Him. I should listen to what He has to say for me because He has all wisdom and all knowledge. And He wants what's best for me. He is a God who is an omnibenevolent God, who cares for me, and that He loves me and wants a relationship with me. And God is love. And our response to that is, I want that. I want to love Him back. I want to have that relationship with Him. So we must do it God's way, though. We got to look at God and say, that's who You are, and You created us. You are the God that knows us, and You know what's best for us. Now we need to follow You. You see, do we really want to know God? Because when we really know who God is, we have to respond in the proper way. And it's God's way, God's plan. You see, God, through His infinite wisdom, has devised a perfect plan for all mankind. And in that perfect plan, He has given us the ability to achieve that perfect outcome by the perfect means. Now, I want us to break this down. God has a plan that He has established. The plan that brought forth His Son, and that plan for us to follow in our life. And He has given us the ability to achieve the perfect outcome. What I look at as a perfect outcome is spending eternity with God in heaven and being with Him forever. And He's done it by the perfect means, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who left heaven and came down to this earth and came in the flesh and lived the perfect life, did not sin. And then He went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins. And He was buried for 3 days and then rose again, and where people could see the risen Jesus. And then He ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. You see, this is God's perfect plan for all mankind to follow. We must follow God's plan in order to receive that perfect outcome, heaven. And it's done through Jesus Christ. And we look at this plan was done before the foundation of the world. God had it in eternity. Ephesians 1 verses 3 through 4. This plan was done before the foundation of the world. And this plan is through Jesus Christ. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Through me. When He said that, he was saying, you know, you want that life? You want that perfect life in heaven for eternity? To be with God eternally? Well, you have to follow God's way. You got to follow the truth. You look, and what Jesus does here is it lays this out. We want that perfect plan that God has. We want that perfect outcome. And it's the perfect person. We look at this. Jesus is the way. He's all three. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No one can come to God except through Him. And that's God's plan, is for us to come through Jesus, to go to Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. Now, I want us to establish this, that God's perfect plan can get us the perfect results because of the perfect person that He is, Jesus Christ. Now, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Paul writing to the church in there, and he's laying out this plan. We can look through Scripture and see this plan over and over again. But I want us to see it here. He's writing the letter in verse 3. He said, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we've heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, that you love for all the saints, because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard the truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world, and is also constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you've heard it and understood the grace of God in truth." The grace of God, it's God's plan, God's way He has given us in order to have that perfect result. You see, did you see that in there, those three things? We saw that their faith in Jesus Christ led to a hope in heaven by the grace and truth, by the gospel that was preached to them, the word of truth that came to them, that they heard it. The gospel is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus in the perfect life, the perfect way. And they've heard this plan and they followed it. In fact, Epaphras was one in verse 7, and he went and taught them, and he's the one that reported back to Paul. And Paul then is saying this in verse 9. He said, "For this reason also, since the day we've heard of it, we have not ceased that you ask to be filled with the knowledge of His will." You see, Paul wanted them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That's what we are striving to do. When we know God, when we know who God is, we're knowing what He wants from us. We're knowing His will. We know what He wants us to do and how we are to live our life. And when we have this knowledge, we'll look at the rest of the verse. It says, "In all spiritual wisdom and understanding." When we're filled with that knowledge, we'll have all spiritual wisdom. And we'll understand what God expects out of me. And then what the result will be is this, that we'll walk in a manner pleasing to the Lord, and to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what will happen if we follow God's plan. When we follow God's plan, we will do it by God's will. That's what His plan is. It's His will. It's His knowledge. He's the God of all wisdom. He knows everything. He is going to give us what He expects out of us, and that He has done that through His written word. And we look at this, that we can be pleasing to God. That's what we want. We want that relationship with God and be pleasing with Him. And let's go on in verse 11, that we're strengthened with power. When we know God's will, we're strengthened because we can stand firm and we can obtain steadfastness and patience and joy. And what should our response be? Giving thanks to God, the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, God should be thanked for what He has done for us. He has given us this perfect plan that when we sin, we fell short of the glory of God. We weren't supposed to sin. We transgressed God. And when we do that, we put a separation between us and God. And that separation was in darkness. But God's plan transfers us to the light of His Son, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins. Now, we look at this. Now, we don't just get that by just saying, I believe you, God, and I know who you are. We have to have a response to that. You see, that's what Jesus went around preaching and teaching. And this is where we got to be careful, because we got to follow God's plan to get to that transform from darkness to light, from the evil world to the kingdom of His Son, and where we can have that forgiveness of sin. And we can't do it our way. We can't do it the way we think or the way we feel or the way we want it to be. We have to do it God's way. It has to be God's plan. And God's plan throughout Jesus' ministry, he goes around talking about the fundamentals and aspects of God's plan. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and we'll go through 26. He said, if anyone desires to follow after me, now this is Jesus talking, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and destroys or has his soul lost? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes into his own glory, his Father, and the holy angels. What Jesus is telling us is this. There's fundamental aspects of God's plan that we have to deny ourselves. That means when we look at what I want or what I think and the way that I want to devise a plan, no, we can't follow that way. We have to follow God's way. We got to deny ourselves. And we'll dig into more of what that means here in a little bit. But we need to deny ourselves and follow Jesus and follow his way. You see, if we try to do it on our own, we're going to lose our life. If we try to do it God's way and we lose it he said, whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And we'll get into what that means as we move on. But I want us to go then now to Luke 13 and verse 20. You see, there's a striving that we need to do. A striving to enter through the narrow gate, the narrow door. And for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. Jesus said, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will not enter and will not be able to go through that narrow door. In Matthew chapter 7, it also talks about this narrow door. It talks about a gate. In Matthew 7 and verse 13, it says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go thereby in by it. And now we need to understand, when we look at God's way and we look at man's way, we look at a door, we look at a gate, however you want to say it, we must know this. Jesus is saying there is a narrow gate and there is a way that you need to follow to get to God. That is Jesus. That is his way. That is being the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to be careful how we live our life, that we are following God's way. Now, there's a broad way, a wide gate that leads to destruction. And that wide gate is this. Remember we talked about denying ourselves? When we look and say, well, I think that we should do this to please God. I think we should do that to please God. I think that God will want me to do this. No, we got to look at how God wants me to follow him and just do that. Nothing more, nothing less. Just do what God wants you to do. And that's why we preach the gospel. Not for me. It's not for me to fame or anything like that. I don't want any of that. I want to be pleasing to God. I want you to be pleasing to God. I want what God wants. I want us to follow God, follow his plan. And that plan, he said, that because the narrow gate is difficult as the way and it leads to life, there are few who find it. Why is it difficult? Well, because people want to follow their own plan. Why is there few that find it? Because they won't submit to God's plan. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, this is a few verses later, Jesus gives the example why. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that last day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And I'll declare to them, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. The point that Jesus is making is this. You can say whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. But if you want that perfect outcome that we are talking about, that eternal life that goes through the narrow gate, that goes through Jesus Christ, if you want to be with God eternally, you have to do things that God wants you to do. He said this. He said, he who does the will of my Father. We got to follow God's plan. Because if we don't, we're following our plan. It's either God's plan or our plan, or other man-made plans. But we have to follow God's plan. And He's given us the written word. He has confirmed it through the Holy Spirit that we can look at this and know what we need to do. And because God has given us the perfect plan to follow. Now, I want us to see this and as an example that Peter experienced. In Mark, turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 29. Peter experienced this in what I mean. Jesus is talking to them and he said this. Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, rightfully so, "You are the Christ." And he warned them not to tell anybody about it. And then Jesus began to teach how the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and raised again on the third day. And he was telling them this matter plainly. He was telling them very clearly, this is what's going to happen to me. Now, I want us to look what Peter did. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. And I want us to notice what Jesus says to Peter. Jesus turned and rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." Yeah, the man's interest is wanting Jesus to stay with them. Jesus is feeding them. Jesus is healing them. Jesus is taking care of their need. He is giving them a far better life than they had. And that is okay. But he's going to give us something far greater and after he completes God's will. Now, what he is doing here is he's telling Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not listening to God's plan. You're coming up with your own, and you are the devil. And we're not doing it." Well, that's wrong. You see, if we really want to know God, we have to follow God's plan. Peter was one of Jesus's closest friends, and he wanted to do it his way, not Jesus's way. And Jesus rebuked him. But we have to do things God's way. When he said, "Get behind me, Satan," he's saying, "You are a temptation to me. I don't want to do it that way. I want to do God's will. I want to follow God's way." In fact, Jesus said that. My purpose of coming here is to do the will of God who sent me and to finish his work. God's way is the only way. And we must follow God's plan, which will lead us to the perfect outcome, which is heaven, by the perfect means, which is through Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, there has to be, like Peter, a transformation of our mind. You see, he was thinking of man's interest, and now we want to think of God's interest. There's a transformation in my mind that I have to make. And look at it over at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 4. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Did you see these three aspects that keep popping up? You see, we want that perfect outcome by God's perfect plan, and we are to set our minds, to transform our minds to that heaven where we want to be. And we have to follow God's plan. And it talks about being raised with Christ. Raised with Christ means that we are baptized, that we have our sins washed away in the waters of baptism. Romans chapter 3, chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4 says, "Or do you not know all of those who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that we, as Christ raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." What is being written here is Jesus, the gospel is this. Jesus was lived a life, he died and was buried, and he rose again. We too must live, die to ourselves, be buried, be immersed in water, and live, walk in newness of life, just like Jesus did. That's this God's plan, is for us to obey the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. His death, burial, and resurrection is what has given us hope. But when we look at this, we must be obedient to that plan. When we are raised with Christ, as Paul said, when we are raised with him, we are to seek those things that are above, those things that are transforming our mind, that are in heaven. We're going to look at heavenly things, set our mind on those things, not these things on earth that, in fact, they're all going to be destroyed. He said, for you died. Remember when you died, when you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you died to yourself. And now your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now that's just precious right there. We look, and when we become a Christian, we're hiding ourselves in Christ, with Christ in God. And he is our life. And when he appears again, we'll have that home in heaven, that desired outcome. But we have to change our thinking. We got to do things God's way, God's plan, and for us to follow. And it's a changing of our mind to look at these, God's way, God's plan. And we have that choice that we have to make. We have to make that choice. We can't just say, well, the grace of God saved me, and I do nothing. I do not respond to that. Well, yeah, there has to be a response to that. The response is, I believe. And I'm going to follow after Jesus. I'm going to do things the way he said I should do them. And yes, by the grace of God, we are saved by the plan that he has established for us to follow. And that plan is for us to get to that perfect outcome, heaven, eternally. Now, we need to continue to seek those things which are above. Look at verse 5. In Colossians 3, there's more to what we need to do. He said, therefore, consider your members of your earthly body as dead. What are we dead to? Well, we're dead to our former life, where we're looking after self. And then we're going to look at these earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, greed, which is an amount of adultery. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God has come upon the sons of disobedience. You see, God is coming back, and he's going to take care of those who are immoral, or evil passions, evil desires, or greedy. They're worshiping false idols. When we look at this, God's going to take that. But he said, remember who you are. You once walked that way. You were living in them. In verse 8, he said, you put aside some things. You put aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. And he said, don't lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with evil practices and put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Did you see what happened? There was a renewal. And that renewal was a choice that we made to become dead to self and live for God. When we live for God, we are going to deny things in our life. We're going to get rid of some of that stuff. And then we're going to put on a new self, which is going to be renewed by the true knowledge according to the one who created us. And that renewal in verse 10, as we talked about, that renewal in verse 11, I mean, there is no distinction. There is just me and God. There is no distinction between man, between Jew and Greek, and circumcised and uncircumcised, and slave and free. But Christ is all in all. Christ is the one. We can all be one in Christ. There is no greater man here or greater man there. We are all one in Christ. We are his people. And we are chosen by God. How are we chosen? By us following that plan. He's given everybody the plan, but the one that God chose is those who follow his plan. and we put on a heart of compassion. Look at verse 12. So those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against one another, just as the Lord forgave you, you also should them. Behold all things, put on love. Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You know, when we do things God's way, it's always better. It's always better. When we put away old stuff and put on new stuff, that new stuff is what gives us that way that God wants us to live. And he said, and when we put on this love, it's a bond that brings us all together. God is the God of all love. He wants that relationship with us. And that binds us all together because we are striving together in this life to get to that home in heaven by the perfect means, Jesus Christ, and by following God's plan. And he said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And whenever we look at this, we must know that we have to do it God's way, by his authority. In verse 17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and give thanks through him to God the Father. And so, if we really want to know God, we will follow God's perfect plan. We'll allow God's way to transform our lives to live it how he wants us to live. And that is when we change our focus from self to God. Now, I want us to look at what Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Turn your Bibles there. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul gives an introduction to him, and I want us to establish this one more time. He said, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God, and the knowledge of truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised us long ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation which I have entrusted, and according to the commandment of God, our Savior. What Paul is saying here is the same thing I've been saying this whole lesson. God has the perfect plan. And you've heard that perfect plan. And it's come through the knowledge of truth that it'll lead you to godliness. It'll lead you to way to eternal life, which God, who promised us, who cannot lie, that attribute of God that cannot lie, cannot deceive us. He promised us that we'll have that home in heaven if we follow his will, his plan. And look over at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. And I want us to understand this. Paul writes, and he includes himself in this. He says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Now that's him, God being an omnibenevolent God. Through Jesus Christ, he appeared on this earth. Not by the works of righteousness, which has been done according to the mercy he saved us. Through the washing, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And he poured out his abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be carefully to maintain the good works. What Paul is saying here is, we were once living that foolish life. We lived that foolish life, but God has a better plan for us to follow. Through his mercy, through his grace, that we can be heirs according to the hope of his eternal life. And that is by following God's plan to get to the desired result to be with him eternally through Jesus Christ. So I ask you, will you follow God's perfect plan? Will you change your focus on thinking and actions from self-serving to what God wants and what God expects of me? Luke 9 and verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him." God, through his infinite wisdom, devised a perfect plan for each and every one of us. And he's given us that ability to achieve that perfect outcome, to be with him eternally through the perfect means, Jesus the Christ, his Son. Will you listen to God's plan? Will you follow God's plan? As we look at the things today, maybe you're thinking, "I don't know if I'm following God's plan." Well, if you're in that circumstance, reach out. I will show and study with you what God's plan is. Not that I'm all-knowing. I am still a learner as well. But we can look at Scripture together and know what God expects of me and know what God wants of me so that we can all be right with God. If I can help you in that way, please reach out. And I hope that you will really want to know who God is.